We're going to talk about the major part of our marrow transplant. We talked about this, the aftercare, all right, that we have was a, when we learned that substance giving was a major part of the marrow transplant that we're receiving by way of the Rhema word. We're receiving a word, and every time we receive a Rhema, every time we're in the word, we're receiving more of Christ, obviously. And there's a transplant taking place in us. And when we learned that substance giving was a major part of the aftercare of each transplant. And the reason being is because substance giving really shielded us from the effects of old marrow, from the effects of the soul tie or the tie to money or the root of all evil, which is the love of money or the regard for money. This whole entire teaching on substance giving was so that Christ could really be complete in us. And he was getting at the root. I can't say it enough. He was getting to the root of our problem.
Amen.
That is the major, 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 major point behind teaching on substance giving, on triune giving. It was for God to really be able to disconnect us in our worship with our giving from the root of all evil, so that the marrow of Christ can take full effect in us, so that we can receive as we ask and as we pray, so that we can really, really walk in the commonwealth of the kingdom and be fully disconnected from this malfunctioning world system.
Amen.
That's this whole entire teaching, all this insights and Rhema on this. The one objective is just to disconnect us, praise his name,
That's good.
and connect us fully to the flow of who he is.
Yes.
That's what this teaching's been about, and that's what this balance is all about. Part one in this balance is understanding the connection between substance and marrow. All right. And we're going to look at some things that we learned, and we're going to look at a couple of things that we hadn't learned. But we pick up here in Proverbs 3, verses 5 through 10. It says, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him." And I can't wait for people to get refreshed on why we started talking about substance giving. This is the refresher of why. "In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes, fear the Lord, and depart from evil." Verse 7 says, "It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones." And we learned that verse 8 really connected to verse 6, that as we continue to acknowledge him, it becomes health. Why? Because we end up departing from evil, and it then becomes health to our navel and marrow to our bones. Remember, we're departing from evil to receive this marrow transplant. We learn
Amen.
that the root of all evil is the regard or love for money. That's the root of it. So God is trying to get us into a position of having healthy marrow, his marrow flowing through us. Then verse 9 ties it together. It says, "Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruit of all of thine increase." Now, for me, this becomes extremely easy to see. That now honoring the Lord with my substance is going to get me to the root of all, it's going to get at the root of all evil so that I can fully depart from it. And when I depart from it, now I got health unto my navel, marrow, his marrow's flowing in my bones. Why? Because I'm no longer connected to the system of this life, and no longer connected to the sustenance or the benefits that would we try to extract from it. I'm now connected to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords.
Amen,
All
God.
right. So when I honor him with my substance and with the first fruit of all of my increase, that's my acknowledging. That is my honoring him. All right. It says, "So shall thy barns," and here's a perk, "so shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine." Verse 10 is a tremendous perk for having the Lord's marrow flow freely.
Amen.
Now, the word acknowledge, we learn, means kinsfolk or kinsfolk. It means blood relation, to know by experience or to regard. All right? So now, first of all, acknowledge does mean blood relation or kinfolk. This proves that our acknowledging the Lord causes us to return to the original state of being that he had actually created us in. I really hadn't noticed this definition until this study was put on me here. I really didn't notice that acknowledging kinsfolk till that we began to look into deeper insights about substance giving here. Then we note here, remember in the week prior's teaching, that we were first blood related to God, our Father, before we were blood related to earthly parents. His marrow and characteristics was always in us. And first, prior to anything, Jeremiah 1:5 proves it. Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. Now the word knew means kinsfolk. So now prior to us becoming children of our earthly parents, we were already blood related to God. We already had blood relations with God, all right? But when we got connected to the root of evil, that blood relation began to wane. It began to disappear in man. That full blood relation to God began to leave. In fact, Elder Allison, you said something very interesting today, and I don't mean to put you on the spot. You weren't expecting this. What did the word evil mean?
Degeneracy from original nature.
Degeneracy from our original nature.
Yes.
Wow.
So the word evil itself speaks to what took place when the root began to enter into man after the fall. So now we began to really, the nature of God began to disappear. The bloodline of God, the actual bloodline of God began to become degenerate. It began to dissipate, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
So, but prior to that, we were blood related with God. So we had the marrow of God flowing through our bones. So everybody says, okay, how do we get all of this translating into entering into the ultimate place of peace? Because we're going to enter back into that blood relation with the Father.
Mm.
You're going to feel it in your physical body. You're going to feel it in every part of your being as we continue to do this. But the bottom line is God is aiming for the root of our issues. And that's why verse 9 says, honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruit of all of thine increase. Why? Because he's trying to get us to depart, not just from evil on the surface, but from evil at the root.
Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah. So substance giving and marrow, there's a culmination here. There's something that works together. Because as we continue to plant in those triune ways, as we continue to worship God with our tithe, first fruit, and substance or free will offerings, we're hitting the root. The axe is laid there. And so now the reason why we came from talking about acknowledging and talking about coming into the marrow of Christ, because he taught us through that how to get to the root of our problems that's bringing this malfunctioning marrow, literally, physically, spiritually, mentally, into our lives. He's teaching us on how to.
Amen.
That the enemy has always, which we learned in this series, always used substance.
Mm-hmm.
Once he fell and lost his position because of it, he started to utilize it against us. He said, they too will fade from his presence. Because there'll be a new marrow. There'll be a new type of DNA in man that they will honor more than they will honor God. And it's money, everyone. Bottom line, it's money. All right?
Jesus.
So now we understand here that we were blood related to God first. So he's bringing us back to that point. But again, the root cause of our disconnect is unfortunately having substance without honor. All right, so we need to remember that we are learning about this marrow transplant because we learned about honoring the Lord with our substance. So we started to learn about honoring the Lord with our substance Then it brought us into the rhema on marrow, that through that we would be receiving a marrow transplant, or we would be causing it to be, at the transplant rather, we learned, would be sustained by honoring with our substance. So we learned about honor with substance. Then the Lord told us the problem of why the marrow was not being sustained. We learned about honoring the Lord with our substance. And then that revealed to us the marrow transplant that would take place. Then he took us back to the importance of honoring to show us how it would then be sustained. That the life of God, let me just put it plainly, the life of God is sustained when we're disconnected from the regard or love of money. Thank he God. Saw our root cause of why we don't honor him. The root cause of not honoring him is that we weren't acknowledging him. The rhema on acknowledging him led us to understand the transformation that we would undergo through a marrow transplant. That's what I was just telling you just a moment ago. It positions us for perfect honor. So this leads us to understand that honoring the Lord with our substance is a major part of how the marrow will be taken care of. That the life of Christ is all I'm saying. The life of Christ will be able to flow freely in you, for you, and through you. That's what this teaching on substance giving is all about. God is aiming at the root of our problems. And I'm telling you, like my name is Todd Gregory Harley, that the root of our problems is the connection we have to money. So now, when substance is good to us, we need to be careful. All right? When substance is good to us, we need to be careful. I'm going to skip the sidebar, and I'm going to go to the key points over in Genesis chapter 3, verse 6, and then 16 through 19. It says, and when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. Now, the word saw means regard. The word acknowledge means regard. When she saw that the tree was good for food, the tree that was forbidden to them, she saw that it was good for food. All right? Now, she saw this, and what she did as she regarded it, she began to acknowledge something outside of God. And what she began to acknowledge was substance that did not belong to her.
Mm-hmm.
She began to look and see sustenance that did not belong to her. Now, she had every other tree at her disposal. She did not need this food that she saw. Just like some of us need a revelation, we don't need what we think we need in pertaining to our substance. We don't need it. It's better to honor God with it. But she saw that it was good, and that's the dangerous part, is when we start to get the revelation or this demonic revelation that this is better for me not to give to God, or to even inquire about honoring God, because I can do more with it. So it's just like her. We see that it's good in a sense. But watch this. So she regarded, she began to acknowledge something. She gained a new experience outside of God. She acknowledged what Satan said, and unfortunately received a demonic marrow transplant, because only thing she had going in her body before was God. Adam and Eve, I'm going to say this to you guys, whether you believe it or not, they were already designed to live forever because they knew no sin. The only reason why we die is because the wages of sin is death, period. They were already designed to live. They were already there. Only thing they were missing was their heavenly body. But God would have taken care of that along the way. But right now, we have to understand. So now, when she began to acknowledge that, her DNA began to change. Things began to function in that was supposed to be functioning in total honor unto God, it began to function in her and through her in dishonor, because she started to move in things that God told her not to. And this was now stealing the substance. Watch this here. In Genesis chapter 2, verses 16 and 17, it says, "And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die." Now the word good, the good part of the tree really wasn't good. It was prosperity. It was rich. It was valuable in estimation. It was prosperous of man's sensuous nature. Good understanding of man's, listen, keyword man's, intellectual nature. That's what the word good means in the Hebrew. So what turned on in Eve was her sensuous nature, man's sensuous nature, and good understanding of man's intellectual nature. And so now she began to view prosperity differently. Instead of seeing it the way that God saw it, like he did with Christ and in Jesus, money had no place or value to him. Substance had no place or value in Jesus, only just a tool to utilize it to help people, to feed people, and to do things that he did. It was a tool to him, all right? But the bottom line is her sensuous nature, man's sensuous nature, was turned on. So she saw, not through the eyes of God, but through the eyes of man. And that's our problem. We see substance or money through our own eyes. I see substance, I'm gonna tell you how I see it. I see substance in money as a way to be truly connected to God and disconnected from the world. That's how I see substance, that when I have it and I can honor God with it, I see here the very source of how that I can stay disconnected as I take of the substance and honor God.
Amen.
I see differently. My sensuous nature dealing with money is not turned on like it used to be. My intellectual nature caused with dealing with money is not turned on like it used to be. I'm looking now that every time I get increase, I can now continue to keep the axe laid at the root to stay disconnected and connected unto God with the honor, with the substance.
Bless God. Bless God.
I'm seeing it differently. Hallelujah. And God is trying to turn our eyes and open our eyes to see what kind of tool and what kind of weapon it really can be. He wants to shut down your sensuous nature. He wants to shut down your intellectual nature as pertaining to money.
Bless God.
He wants to shut it down. Eve's eyes, when she learned about good, it was not good, because she learned about what was good in prosperity and valuable in her own estimation. She saw that the tree was good for food and desirable.
Yes, God.
Her nature turned on there. God wants to shut our nature down when it comes to finances, and walk in the heavenly nature, and walk under the intellect of Christ our Lord, and walk in the power of his spirit. And let that become the source in which we live by.
Amen.
Because I'm letting everybody know that's under the sound of my voice, that this economic system, this world, it's going to fail one day. And please tell me, what in the world are you going to do when it does? When you have the power of Christ, that you can turn these stones into bread, that you can take a loaf of bread and feed a multitude. You can take a piece of fish and feed your family for the next 10 to 12 months if need be. Listen here, there's a different commonwealth that we're called to. It's not this one. We're not called to see money like this. We're not called to view it like this. We're not called to have our sensuous natures being that are being moved by it, driven by it, our intellectual natures. That every time God gives you an idea for prosperity, you've got to see it from the eyes of why he's showing you. Because God wants to make you rich and add no sorrow with it. He wants you in the balance of the spirit when it comes to finance. And he wants me there when it comes to finance. Oh, God. Hallelujah.
Thank you.
Once he saw when the knowledge of good and evil, I'm here to tell you that the whole thing, the whole tree was evil. The entire tree was evil. The good was evil. Because the only thing it did was heighten man's understanding, man's intellect. There was nothing good about the tree at all. There's nothing good, and that's what got us twisted now. Because unfortunately, when they ate whatever they ate that came off that tree, it changed our DNA. It changed the marrow of man completely. And it pushed us into the root of evil. And things got twisted there. Now we say, him that has money, he that has money, man, he must be holy because he has so much money. Look at how God is with him. That's a lie. That's a lie. No. The only thing that I know the Bible calls great gain is godly contentment.
Amen.
Do you know what that means? That doesn't mean being poor. That means being content with God.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean you're poor. It just means that you're totally content with God. Paul said it like this. He said, I know how to abase. I know how to abound. He said, I'm good either way. Because I found here that Christ, whether I have a lot or a little, Christ is still my sufficiency.
Amen, God.
Hallelujah. So this thing here, what she did when she saw it was good for food, her intellect kicked in. Her man's intellect kicked in. She saw prosperity differently. She saw money differently. She saw substance rather differently. She saw it as being another way to be sustained. When it was crazy that all that God had done and all that God was doing all around him became nothing to her because she desired something that didn't belong to her. Now, here we go. Evil speaks for itself. Bad of value, adversity, affliction, calamity, displeasures and distress. Now watch this. So when good turns on in man's sensuous nature, when man begins to view money and regard it more than God, then the evil part sets in.
Mm-hmm.
We're already duped and tricked by what we feel is good. We're already duped and tricked by it. But then as we're duped and tricked, now adversity will set in. Why? Because it's the root of all evil. So now evil has a source or has a pipeline to continue to come into your life. Adversity, affliction, calamity, displeasures, and distress. So now as I begin to view it as good, as I begin to look at money through my own intellect, now I'm now trapped to where now the obvious evil can kind of get at me. So the word good really wasn't good. It awakened the human intellect and sensuous nature of man. That's what having substance without honoring God does. It keeps our intellect alive and well, and it heightens our sensuous nature. That's why Proverbs 3 and 5, before we got to this here, verse 5 tells us, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not to thine own understanding. This is where we belong. We don't belong in our own intellect or senses. Evil describes the results of keeping what we think intellectually is good. I'm going to say that again. You should take that down. Evil describes the results of keeping what we think intellectually is good, our substance. So as we continue not to honor, now evil can become the results. Calamity, distresses, I don't care. And please don't look at your money and tell me that you have plenty of it. Anyone that's under the sound of my voice, or that will be, don't look at that and say, oh no, I'm good. No, not if it doesn't have honor towards God. You're not. The door's open for calamity. The door's open for all kinds of mess. people are building empires. I think there's one, a Puff Daddy or P. Diddy or whatever he calls himself now. He's going through hell and high water, and he built a total empire, and he's about to lose everything. Everything. It looked like he would be set for the rest of his life. Man, everything is shifting and trend. Why? Because Satan only brings you high to drop you low.
It's true.
So if we really look into the entire tree was absolutely cursed. There was nothing good about it. The scriptures holds true. Think about it. If a little leaven leavens a whole lump, then how could some of the tree be good and how can some of the tree be evil?
Yeah, right.
If a little leaven leavens the whole tree was leavened, people of God. You don't want the intellect of man kicking in. You'd rather walk in the intellect of God. When you keep on living without honoring God, what you think is good is helping you and is helping you really is hurting you. It keeps the life of God from truly manifesting.
Amen.
He said that the day they would eat of the tree, they would surely die. And they did.
Yes.
God's marrow was replaced with Satan's marrow.
Mm-hmm.
The life of God as they knew it was over. It was over. Now, Jesus said it like this. This one's new. This one's new. This part of it. I've taught on this scripture before, but this one came at me today. And Elder Allison said something that was so powerful here. And we were talking about good, and we were talking about what was good and what was evil. We were in our morning Rhema session. And listen, the Father is the only one that is good, not substance and not man. Listen to what Jesus says. Everybody's heard the scripture before. In Luke 18, verse 18 and 19, it says, a certain ruler asked him, saying, good master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus said unto him, why callest thou me good? None is good save one, that is God. Now, the word good, and by the way, here's an Easter egg for some of you that are on the line. Our next fruit that we're going to be getting into probably next week is goodness. Now, the word good means beneficial or useful. That's powerful. When you think money is useful or beneficial more than God, there's a problem. There's nothing, in fact, I'm going to even say this. There's nothing that can even compare or should be compared, because Jesus said there's no one. There's none. None is good save one. One. That is God. In other words, only one or only thing that is beneficial or useful to you is God. That's a deep, deep, deep statement right there. But the only thing, money, listen, when you're really untied from it, oh my God, I see you, Jesus. When you're really untied from it, the only one beneficial is God.
Mm-hmm.
The only one useful is God. Hallelujah.
Bless God.
If you look at the life of the Lord Jesus, he gave no credit to anything else but God. Nothing else was beneficial or useful. And this is having the mind of Christ. This is following after him. When we get to the revelation that my goodness, the Bible even says, my goodness, it says bodily exercise profiteth little, but godly exercise is profitable unto all things. Godly exercise, having a right relationship with him, that is there's your money right there. You're having a relationship. Come on, we've got to be really kind of really ignorant. We're not trying to hold a relationship with the one that the earth belongs to and the fullness thereof, the worlds and they that dwell therein. How dare us call anything else beneficial or useful other than God? When Eve saw that tree, she said, this is useful. This is beneficial. that was offensive unto God.
Wow.
That offended him. Anytime we don't honor with our substance, and we say it is beneficial, this is how I live. And we then put it away. We put it away towards what we believe we want or need, and we will not honor with it. Come on, man. That's a slap in the face. The God of all power, the God of all wisdom, all might. And we're saying there's something else beneficial?
Wow.
Or useful.
Jesus.
When she saw that the tree was good for food, when she saw that it was good, what she did was steal, she gave the substance on that tree the honor that belonged to God. She regarded the tree as beneficial. I know this wasn't in the series. I told you we're going to get some old and some new. Listen, when we deem money, let's say we have a money problem, and we're saying that money will fix the money problem, and we're looking to God, and we narrow him down to just asking for money. And instead of just saying, whatever you do and however you want to do it, you are beneficial and useful to me. But when we think money is the answer, my God, my God, my God, and we think money is the answer to what we're going through, come on, people of God. You're calling money good. And Jesus said, there's none good but God. He's the only one beneficial. When she regarded, when she saw and she regarded and gained a new experience outside of God, that was the first time in the history of man that they didn't see God as a source. She thought the tree was beneficial to her. And that tree was not in the menu or on the menu that God had already given them. Well, I want to submit, seriously, I don't believe the tithe or the first fruit or any free will offering is on our menu. I really don't. The tithe was always the Lord's. The first fruit always belonged to the Lord. And whatever he requires as a substance gift was already his too. In fact, the lump is all his. Everything. But when we won't regard honoring with a tenth or honoring with a first fruit, when we're saying, no, it's more beneficial for me to do this or to do that. It's more useful this way. What connection do we really hold with God? How much trust do we really have in God? That's what Eve did. That's what she did. This is outside the jurisdiction. This is outside the covenant that he made. This is outside, but yet it is good for me. It's good for me. No. Sorry. I'm sorry. Only one beneficial. Only one is God. God forbid we get into a situation in life that really and truly money can't fix. How much of a benefit are you going to get when you never knew God like this? This is why the love of money, the regard of money, is the root of all evil. It's the root of all calamity. It breaks the bond of trust. It jacks us up. And it's been doing it since the fall of man. So yeah, I preach hard about this. Yeah, I come with it hard because my vision's here. And it's clear to me. And I love it because I want to be as close to him as I possibly can. So now, the results were pretty plain. Everything that evil had to bring, it came. He said to the woman, I'm going to greatly multiply your sorrow and thy conception in sorrow. Thou shalt bring forth children, and that your desire will be to your husband, and he shall rule over you. And to Adam, he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for thy sake, and in sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. So they entered into a place of worrisomeness, labor and pain, toil and hardship. And that's real. And they never knew that place before. It wasn't in them.
Nope.
It was never in them before. That they had the marrow, the royalty of God flowing in their veins. So their life demanded royalty. It demanded paradise because that's what was flowing in them. But after they ate, there was a transplant, a demonic transplant, and things changed from the inside to the outside. And I'm here as God's mouthpiece to right that wrong in the name of Jesus.
Amen, God.
And I'm proud to stand here to right that wrong in the name of Jesus.
Amen, Lord.
Proud to do this. To get man out of labor and pain. To get the DNA of God back into our life. To allow God to be God in his totality. Without one hinge that stops us. Money. I'm proud to do it. And I stand strong to do it. So part one of our balance is to understand substance and marrow. The purpose of substance, the purpose of honoring with our substance is to establish the marrow of our Father back into us. This is what the ministry of John was all about, is to prepare them so that they might offer unto the Lord an offering in righteousness. It wasn't about the offering. There was so much more behind that. When the offering was able to come after he was prepared, it meant that our lives were ready to reap God. Amen. We were ready to reap all of his benefits, healing and deliverance, everything that he represents, love and God Almighty peace, true peace.
Hallelujah, Jesus.
That's what this is all about.
Hallelujah, Jesus.
Ah, yes, Lord.
Hallelujah.
And I'm praying that he restores. I'm praying that he really restores us all. And that we wake up and that the eyes of our understanding would be enlightened all over again. That we see this for what it really and truthfully is.
Yes, God. Yes, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
I'm going to put this out there. And you guys know me. You've known me for years. The Spirit of the Lord told me to sow a seed of $50. He told me, he said, give me a seed of 50. I said, okay. I said, 50. I said, well, why? And I heard, Pentecost is about to burst out at the scene. He said, send me a seed of $50. An honored seed of substance of $50. He said, I'm about to show you Pentecost. And I said, yes, Lord. And I was excited to sow the seed. And I sowed the seed right before I came online. And I was excited to give the seed over to the Lord. Because he's excited to show us Pentecost all over again.
Yes, God.
You have no idea. But when the day of Pentecost has fully come in your life, healing of all kinds, deliverance of all kinds, debt freedom entirely. You look at what happened after Pentecost was fully come. There was no sick that was in the streets, no demonically tormented. Every disease, everything was healed. Everything went on. Don't sleep on Pentecost. Don't sleep on what God is able and going to do. It's time for us to elevate to the dimension that we belong in as the church of our Lord. It's time for us to see the glory of the Lord fill our lives to full capacity. It's time, I'm trying to tell you, it's absolutely time. But I say this unto you, the axe is laid at the root. Let him kill it. Let him finish what he started. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We'll be in part two on Sunday, everybody. That's all I've got for you tonight. But part two will commence on Sunday. I was believing God, me personally, that I would be able to finish this on Sunday. I think tonight's part of the balance is probably the most important part for you to take hold of, to be able to really freely honor God. If you understand what was said tonight, the rest of it is easy. It's very simple to walk in, but tonight was paramount. It was pertinent for people to break out and break free and to really believe God in this area. But this is part one, so part two will be on Sunday. If you have a seed that you would like to sow, you can sow. If you'd like to honor God, even I did get to go ahead to invite you if you want to sow that $50 Pentecost seed. And you guys know me for years. Some of you know me for decades. I don't name offerings. I don't call out offerings, but I'm going to do this on this one, that if you want to sow a seed and believe God to release Pentecost in your life, if you have a check in your spirit, then honor the Lord with your substance. And you can sow a seed of $50. And I'm telling you, Pentecost is coming. It's coming to the house of True Gospel Ministries. It's coming to your life. It's coming, and get ready, because you're going to see the glory of the Lord in every area of your being. Healing is going to yield to heal. Because healing is being healed at the root. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Praise God.
Hallelujah, Jesus.
Amen. Amen. Oh. Amen. That's all I've got for you. You can stop.
Hallelujah.
There, Elder Allison.